CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody. This is your host, Justin Christensen of the CMO Roundtable. And today, as always, we've got another amazing guest for the show. Our guest today is a creator and owner of Curation Suite, a content curation platform that gives you the power to curate and publish in any niche or market. He's an entrepreneur with over 10 years in digital marketing and a background in the U.S. Army, music industry, real estate, technical consulting, business development. He's also a coder and still enjoys the zen-like flow of developing when he gets the time to do so. So without further ado, our guest, Scott Scanlon. How are you doing, my friend?
Great, Justin. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So content, it's a big, big topic. Everybody's talking about it. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share with our audience today.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll cover a lot of great tips here today.
So can you tell people what content curation actually is?
Yeah, so in essence, content curation, and the best way to think about it is just another form of content. But what it really is that it's a piece of content where you're referencing another piece of content. So like an article, a video, could be a social update. You're seeing it pretty much any site out there that you can name. We could log on to it right now. I'm not going to say we're going to log on, but we can get on the internet, go on the site right now, and we'd be able to find a piece of what I would consider content curation, only they call it reporting. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it is. It's not a special type of content. It's just a different type of content that you would produce, just like a blog post or anything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So why do you want to curate content?
Well, there's a couple really good reasons to curate content. First up, it's the easiest form of content marketing you can do. And the reason for that is the idea for what you need to write about, what you need to comment on is already there because you're referencing something else. Mm-hmm. Good example is yesterday, a couple days ago, was the Apple release. And we just did a quick curation on something we found a little bit amusing. And it took us 4 minutes to produce. It converted. And it was a curation, and it was about what one of the Apple the iPhone 10, I believe. The other reason is it did exactly what people were talking about the release on that day, right? And it helped us be part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. We have 30-40% of our audience visits from Apple devices, so anytime we can intersect what our brand or what we talk about with what our audience cares about, that's powerful. And that's another thing that curation allows you to do. It allows you to be part of the ongoing conversation of the web.
Yeah, so you're staying constantly on the hot topic, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And it fills a couple different roles. It fills the role of quick content that you can produce. It fills the role of helping you participate in the digital fuel that runs the internet today. And it's really just kind of a natural progression that anybody goes through once they start producing content.
So can any type of business leverage content curation?
Absolutely. We have people that, we didn't mention this, but we have a curation platform. We have people that are small business owners to local marketers to attorneys to large brands. Anybody in the spectrum that's looking to use content, which pretty much should be anybody nowadays if you're looking to market online, can employ content curation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, I guess, if you want to stay on the hot topic of it. But, I mean, how does it specifically drive traffic? And more specifically, in, say, you've got a very niche market or something like that, how could content curation be beneficial there to drive traffic to your target audience?
Well, and I liken this to content these days is the fuel of the internet. It's kind of like if you had a car in your front yard and you don't have any fuel in it, you're not going anywhere. If you have a website and you're not producing content, there's only two ways to get traffic to your website. It's pay for it or produce content and then distribute it to social networks and other places, and some of that might be paid as well. So if you're not producing content, you really don't have any fuel in your car. you don't have any way to get people to your website. For specifically to a niche market, you're doing everything you should be doing anyways. You're publishing content that your niche market cares about. I'll give you an example of what I would consider a niche market. So someone just signed up for our tool a couple weeks ago that was they run a cleaning business in a local city. And you would think, well, what would a cleaning business curate? You know, are they going to curate how to clean your home and everything else? And that's usually what people jump to. They jump to what they do. But the when we interacted with them, we said, look, the best way to actually garner traffic and garner awareness for your business is that make sure that you have a good website set up for call to actions that's clear, defines what you do. You know, you're a cleaning business. And then set up a listening engine for your local cities that you're in and curate the latest that's going on in those local cities. Because that's what people on Facebook, that's what people on Twitter and everything else, they're going to care about. They're going to pay attention to that. They're not going to pay attention to, you know, your cleaning tips because, number one, that no one is going to probably care about that. And number two, they're hiring you to actually do that. So curating on that is not going to support the call to action that you have on your website. But curate the latest road blockages or curate the latest new event that's coming to town. Curate those type of things. Curate the new restaurant or the new review on the restaurant. And then if you publish that on your site, what you're distributing is you're distributing that story to social media. So it gives people a reason to visit your site. And while they're there, they're gonna see your call to actions. They might see, maybe you have a pop-up that says one free home cleaning sign up here. So it's just a lot of times with niche markets, sometimes you just have to kind of get a little bit creative and say, okay, the audience, where's my audience at? And how do I capture their attention? And then how do I make it easy for them to kind of see my call to actions and understand what I'm about? Is that clear?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, I mean, a lot of people talk about inbound marketing and content marketing and things like that. So how does curation fit into that kind of strategy? I know we've got the HubSpots of the world. We've got, you know, things like that that really push, you know, the content marketing and doing a lot of inbound. So how does content curation fit into that whole model?
Well, there's two things. Is inbound marketing, I'm a true believer in it, so I've been doing it for years. It's the backbone of how we build business, a lot of people that we work with. Here's probably one of the best arguments for starting with curation if you want to do inbound marketing or content marketing is that it's the easiest form of content that you can do. So I mentioned this already, but really content marketing is it's a approach that's typically a longer term approach and it pays off. It can pay off right away, but it's something that you have to do consistently. And like anything else you do consistently, you have to build a muscle towards it, right? You have to kind of build the habits around it. Well, with curation, because it's so easy, because usually you're starting with you're always starting with another story or another video, and then you're adding your own thoughts from there. You're building the muscle to help you become a good content marketer. And what we find is that people either implement curation two ways. Either they've tried to blog or do inbound marketing in the past and they just haven't stuck with it. And that curation fits well because it's quick. You can do 5 to 10 curations in the amount of time it would take you to do a 500 word blog post, right? And then for the people that have kind of mastered inbound marketing or content marketing, putting curation on top of that will just get them more traffic. Will just get them more because they've already kind of built the muscle around it. Typically, I've yet to see someone that hasn't increased their publishing, that hasn't increased their traffic and conversions. Because if you're already publishing content, if you've already figured that out, if you're in that bucket there, then you're just looking for how do I get more content out that's relevant? How do I capture more of my audience's attention? How do I distribute more content? And then curation plays a good role in there. Did I answer your question there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that talking about curation and things like that, my thoughts and maybe some of our audience's thoughts would be, you know, how legal is it? Aren't you just kind of stealing it? Or, you know, what is the effects of maybe like duplicate content out there? I know a lot of people in the SEO world speak to that.
Absolutely. So there's, I'll cover two things, the legality and the ethicality, and then also the SEO side. Okay. So I'm not an attorney, so I should mention that.
Disclaimer, got to have that.
Yeah. But when you're doing curation, you're using what's called the fair use law. And it's part of copyright. It's pretty much international. There's a couple countries where it doesn't quite cover. But fair use says that you can use another piece of art and you can rework that other piece of art and you can cite that other piece of art. If your listeners are familiar with a lot of these reaction videos on YouTube, you know, those are possible because they're using the fair use, right? They're using the fair use doctrine. You're doing the same thing with curation. The gray area in there is that there's no key definition of how much of that other work of art or other article you can use. But I always tell people it's common sense. Look, if you're taking probably more than 30% of an article or something, that's probably more than you need to, unless you're highly reworking that work of art. When I mean reworking, and this is and we'll get to this, I'm sure, in the later half of this, but what you're doing with curation is that you're citing something, but you're also adding your own thoughts. That's actually the true value of curation, is your own thoughts, your own commentary that you add on top of that. So I might share a tweet that I see from a thought leader in my market, and I'll embed that on my site, and there's the tweet. And then I will share 2 to 4 sentences of my thoughts on what that thought leader said. That's a curation. Okay. And that would be it's totally legal. It's totally ethical. And like I said, every site out there does it. They just – some of the larger news sites, they call it reporting, you know, with air quotes. But we could literally, if we wanted to, throw up a screen right now, and we could go to any site you name, and I could say, we could probably spend about 1 minute there and we'd find a curation. They just don't call it curation. So it's something that's ethical. Where you get into trouble, and this is just is that if you cite all the article, if you just dump the whole article on your site, you're not adding any value. Mm-hmm. That's really where you get into trouble.
Okay.
And the SEO side, you know, Matt Cutts, which is one of the persons from Google that talks a lot about SEO, he's talked about curation quite a bit. And one of the things he said is exactly what I said, which is if you're just aggregating content, I mean, that works well. You can aggregate content. But if you're just doing that, your value of SEO isn't that high. But if you're adding your own thoughts, if you're adding value to the conversation around what's going on there and you're citing that, that's going to help you because it's sending the right signals to Google that's saying, look, I'm part of this market. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm adding my own commentary. And Google's smart enough to know, look, this is existing content or this is duplicate content. It's really not duplicate content because they look at it as curation. They look at it as you citing another source. If you use a lot of that article, they're going to say, well, you're going to get hit with a duplicate content, you know, but most people aren't going to do that enough that it's going to matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense completely. I'm guessing it's sounds simple, but I'm guessing it's much more complex than that. Obviously you have a solution for that. It must've been a big enough problem that you created a solution. But what are some of the mistakes people make when they're looking at curation?
See, the biggest mistakes they make is what I kind of mentioned with the person that's a home cleaner that runs a home cleaning business, is that they don't look at – it's kind of the same thing with content. But when you – curation, because it is easy, I'll say that up front, it's the easiest form of content you can do. They start with what they're about, or what they're a plumber, or they're an attorney, or they're something like that. I mean, some markets you have to really lean on heavily what you're about. But the biggest mistake I see people making is that they jump into that first instead of jumping into what can capture their audience's attention and get traffic.
Yeah.
The other biggest mistake I see is I'd say not adding your own thoughts or your own commentary. And I mentioned this just a few minutes ago. That's the true value of curation. It's if what you could produce on every curation that you do, if you can subtly remind your audience the value that you provide to them, and it's not hitting them over the head with a hammer. It's here's what I think about this. So I'll give you a good example. We publish a lot on psychology. Mm-hmm. We publish a lot on studies we see. We published once a study on dolphins and how they interact and social media and everything else. You know, that's a unique piece of content. And it sets us apart because we're not just publishing about SEO and the stuff that you would think we'd care about. But what we added to that was our commentary of how dolphins interact with each other and how it can help you understand how to interact with people in social media. So the true value of that curation was that, look, there's a unique kind of article, and also here's our commentary on it. But in our commentary, we're reinforcing the value that we provide to you, our audience, right? Which is people that are leaders in content marketing and creating a curation solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's just really adding to, you know, it's making it a unique piece, essentially.
Exactly. I mean, and the reason why it's easy, because you see a video out there and that captures your eye and you have the initial thought there, and then you're just launching off into that thought. Or you see an article that's about, it could be anything that captures your interest. Well, that's the beginning of the gem of the idea. And one of the biggest problems people have when they do content marketing is, what do I write about? You know, where do I start? Well, with curation, you already know where to start. Your next step is, here's something, here's what I think about it, and then here's what you can do about it, or here's some more thoughts. It's really not that difficult. I think the biggest challenge we have sometimes is that if people aren't familiar with curation, they put it in a separate bucket. And we're always trying to release training, updates, and everything else to say, look, this is just like a list post you would do for a blog or an infographic or a video. It's just another piece of content. It fits in that same bucket.
Okay, so what's the frequency, or how often should you be curating content?
My answer is as much as you possibly can. So I've yet to see someone that, like I said, you can look at any site out there that's become popular, and did they increase publishing or did they reduce publishing? Very, very few of them, right? Reduce publishing.
Yeah, the more is better scenario here.
Yeah, because it's like anything else. I liken it to the evening news. I mean, there's a couple different evening news, but they all report the same story. And you would say, well, how can they do that? It's because they all have their own audience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start doing content marketing, you start gaining an audience. You start doing it. And what you find is that, well, if I have an audience, the more I can feed them, the more they're going to come back, or the more I'm going to capture people in that like audience. So I'd say for someone that's just getting started, once a day is like the gold standard if you can do that. So we always try to focus people on, look, publish one curation a day. That's a good way to get started. You'll start seeing traffic, and then from there you'll just want to publish more because you'll realize, hey, this works, right? It's just like one of those, it's those self-fulfilling prophecy kind of things. So I always say my rule for anybody when they ask that question is as much as you possibly can. And then, of course, the true nature of it is distributing your content. So that's the other aspect that's going to get you traffic.
So how do you go about distributing it once? I'm assuming your tool does that.
Well, our tool, it makes it easy to publish. We're built in WordPress. So one of the things that's great about WordPress is that I can point you to 5 or 6 different plugins that do a much better job at social aggregation than we do. So our tool does allow you to do social curation, but we don't, on the promotion side, we say use these tools or use this strategy because they do a much better job. We stay very much in our lane of what we try to do with our tool, the problem we try to solve.
Okay, so that brings me to your tool. I mean, why do you need a tool for content curation?
So the first, our tool is designed to help you do it right, but it's also has a lot of features to help you discover content. That's one of the biggest challenges people have when they go about curation as well. How do I find content on an ongoing basis that's curate worthy, or that's worthy of me sharing or publishing? So our tool helps that. We have various ways that you can search for content. You can search Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. We have what is called our listening engine, and it's a content discovery tool that you can set up however you want, and it will go out there and continuously find content. And it does something else powerful as well, is it pulls in social share data on all that content. So you can sort that content on a trending basis. So what you could say is, well, show me the content that's been published over the last 12 hours that has the most Facebook shares. So you're going to get the most popular content right away, and that's really what you should be sharing. That's what you should be curating, is that top shared content, that top trending content, because the audience out there even in the first 12 hours or 6 hours, they've already said, hey, this is kind of interesting. I'm sharing this. So you want to ride that wave before it becomes popular.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's one of the biggest benefits of our tool there is just the content finding ability. And then when it comes to publishing, we built in tools to make it easy to publish to your site or your blog just by clicking a few buttons. So it's really just an ease of use and the ability to discover high quality content.
Okay, great. So, I mean, we've mentioned social media, you know, particularly in that last question, but I mean, it's more than just social media here. What are the big differences there? I mean, than just going out and, you know, hanging out on Twitter all day or jumping in, you know, like people like Gary Vaynerchuk always say, you know, use the search function and jump into the conversation.
Yeah, and there's tremendous value in doing that. The challenge with social curation, you should be part of those conversations. So I'm not saying that that's not. But the challenge with doing social curation is because it's easy, but you're also on someone else's platform. You're on Twitter. You're on Facebook. So your ability to monetize that traffic is seriously diminished because they have to like remember you. They have to actually attribute something to you, and they have to see it time and time again. Where if you publish a curation on your site, it's on your site where your call to actions are. It's on your site where they're going to convert. Very seldom do people convert in social media. They usually have to go over to your site to convert. Mm-hmm. So if you're publishing content there and you're distributing that content out to social media and still being part of the conversation, your ability to convert drastically goes up because people to consume that content will go over to your website. So that's the big difference. The big difference is that I still believe you should do. We do a lot of social media marketing. We do a lot of joining the conversations and stuff like that. But a good example is actually that Apple curation that we did. And I actually sent out an email yesterday on this and explained why we did it and why we didn't just share it as a social update. Is that I shared that we could have just took a quick screen capture of the funny thing we saw and our two-sentence commentary and pushed it out to Twitter, Facebook, everything else, Google+, and be part of the social conversation. And that would have been good. But what we did instead is we published it on our blog and then we pushed that out. And then that generated traffic. And then I also shared in the email that it generated conversions. We got 11 new subscribers to our email list. We got one immediate sale within an hour, which is kind of rare for us because our sales cycle usually is 12 to 72 hours for people to get awareness from us. Mm-hmm. We got people visiting additional pages on our website that allowed us to remarket and do retargeting and stuff like that. So it's a good case study on how if I would have just shared that out on social media,
yeah,
I wouldn't have benefited from generating traffic and awareness to our website. Is that clear? I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So you're just getting more muscle behind it rather than just sharing it out, and the shelf life of a tweet is, you know, minutes.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And any time that you can drive traffic to your site in a way that it's congruent with your audience is powerful, especially if you have a site that's designed to convert. And I always tell people, because social sharing is part of our tool, and it's so easy just to click tweet this or send this out to Buffer or send this out with Hootsuite or share this on Facebook. It's so easy. I say you really should focus on your platform first. Mm-hmm. When you've published something on your platform that you can distribute, then that's where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. That's where you're going to – I mean, yeah, the social media is nice, but ultimately I've yet to see it convert as well as getting real traffic to your site. The other thing that you can do with curations is that, and we do this all the time, every piece of content we publish, when you think about distribution, you think about sharing it out on social media, people are going to share it, but you can bump that content by paying for it, even $5 to $10. And we do a lot of curations where we'll promote it, boost it on Facebook, we'll boost it on Twitter, we'll promote it on Pinterest. So that gives you, when you do a curation and you promote it, it gives you even more reach, and you're playing within the network the way they reward people. I found they reward people that actually pay them.
Yeah, they do. You know, it's pay to play, definitely. So I've got a couple more questions for you. One, a little bit of a curveball, and something that I like to ask all of our guests is, I'm an avid reader. I'm an author too, but most of our guests are readers too. So I'm assuming you are as well. So are there any books that have really jumped out to you recently that, you know, people should read?
You know, I'm kind of a strange, I don't know, I'm reading, I usually read about 8 to 9 books at a time. I don't know why I do this. I've done this for the last couple of years. So, and I'm usually listening to an audio book as well. And they range from copywriting to marketing. You know, I reread, it's about your why. Have you read that book?
What?
I would say, it's all about why.
All about why. Yeah, I have not read that one.
It basically starts about really where, if you're looking to do a business or anything else, you should really focus on your why first, and then everything, that's the center of the circle, and then everything else builds out from there. And then another book that recently came out, Friction, and you can't even order it digitally. I think that they made it, you have to order, it's a hardcover. And that's about the changing world of today and how really advertising today has been built all on friction, and it's about, and if you want to survive going forward, you really got to figure out how to reduce friction in every aspect of your organization, your business, no matter what size you are. So that's another one. And I'm listening to the Abraham Lincoln book, you know, the popular one. Can't remember the
name. I'm not sure. I'll look it up though and make sure we include it in the show notes.
So
yeah, good. And actually, those are ones that I haven't read. So I always like asking that question, because since I am an avid reader, I make sure I get that from other people as well, so I know what everybody's reading.
I guess I went a little over. I shared more than one book, so I apologize.
It's all good. No, I usually try to squeak out 3, so you gave me 3. We're good. So I've got one final question for you before we kind of sign off here, but if you had one tip for people in their marketing, what would it be?
One tip for in their marketing, I'm going to say 2 tips,
okay,
but it's related. And this has helped me tremendously in curation, everything, is it's all about focus and it's all about consistency. Okay. The biggest mistakes, you know, I get a 10,000 foot view of people, of their hopes and dreams in some ways. Because they buy a tool and they have ideas for an idea, or they're looking to market their brand or their service or whatever it is. And we actually do dive in and kind of look at their sites and see what they're doing and provide tips where we can and everything else. And the biggest mistake I see, I'd say time and time again, is a lack of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not focused on one idea, one kind of position for their brand or their company or what they're about. And then the follow-up to that is consistency. If people would just focus and remain consistent and just make it a consistent effort, that, I think, wins out time and time again.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I've been in this game a long time, so I agree wholeheartedly there. So I appreciate you being on the show, Scott. And for those listening, if you liked what Scott had to share, as much as I did, because I'm actually going to go over right after we get off here and check out the site, because I'm interested in, you know, integrating more curation into our content marketing strategy. Go over to curationsuite.com. Is there any other places for people to reach out to you, Scott?
No, that is the best place. There you'll be able to find all the channels to get in touch with us, and you'll be able to learn about Curation Suite and see our training and everything else. So that's the best place to get in touch with us.
Okay, awesome. And the links will be in the show notes. So if you like this episode and all of the great information that Scott shared with us today, be sure to hop over to iTunes and like us, rate us, share us, and we'll greatly appreciate that. And we look forward to seeing you guys and hearing and talking to you again on another episode. So thanks for joining us, and make it a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.